7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz. Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back with another episode, and we have a good one for you guys today. And I will get to that in just a second. I just want to tell you guys, again, you guys can follow us on Twitter at Pony Cake Sports, at Pony Cake Tom, at Pony Cake Tim. You guys can hit us up on our website, ponycakesports.com. Email us, ponycakesports@gmail.com. And also get yourselves ready for that Le'Veon Bell signed autographed jersey giveaway. Go to one of those, Facebook, Twitter, our website, submit those fantasy questions. We will answer them on air, hopefully live on Tuesdays. So this is cut up from those days. So do yourselves a favor and go ahead and submit those questions. And yeah, so we're going to be talking about our fantasy predictions for week number two. And we have some good ones. We are going to go with the quarterback position, obviously, the running back position, and the wide receiver position. Last week, we did not get into the tight ends, but I believe we have to do that justice and make sure we squeeze the tight ends at least into this episode, because there are some good ones in store for this week when we did have quite a few of them not so hot last week. So let's go ahead and get right into it. Let's start off with quarterback, guys. We're going off of fantasypros.com. They got the rankings on there from how many people they got this time? 35 experts. So they're number one this week for the week number two of the NFL season. Aaron Rodgers is listed as number one. Their number two listed Tom Brady. I think that's I think I would put Tom Brady as my number one personally. That's just me. Number three, Matt Ryan. Kind of weird to see Aaron Rodgers and Matt Ryan because they're facing each other. And we're going to round it out at the five. So Drew Brees at number four, Russell Wilson at number five. Brees is playing the Patriots, Russell Wilson, the Niners.
I absolutely love all of the matchups for these quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers, he struggled a little bit last week. Wasn't that that number one quarterback that we're used to seeing. But he was facing that tough Seattle Seahawks defense. I'm not too intimidated with the Falcons, so I think Rodgers deserves to be at the number one or number two spot. And Brady, yeah, he looked like shit last week. Has the lowest completion percentage out of any quarterback in the NFL right now. But he's facing the Saints on turf. Brandon Cooks is going to feast in this game.
I feel like it should have gone Brady, Brees, and then Russell Wilson, and then 4A, 4B, Aaron Rodgers, and Matt Ryan. That's just me. I've already talked about it. Tom Brady is my number one by far. It's a no-brainer, and Drew Brees is not far behind at home. If Alex Smith can do what he did against the New England defense, I have no doubt Drew Brees can rebound from a rough week as well against that tough Vikings defense. So I like Brady and Brees this week.
My biggest thing with the Saints and Drew Brees is, do they have enough weapons to complement Drew Brees? They have a Michael Thomas. They have the great Ted Ginn Jr.
He looked good.
He looked okay. But who else do they have after that? Kobe Fleener, Tommy Lee Lewis. Tommy Lee Lewis is a gadget player, in my opinion. I think he can catch the ball when he needs to, but there was one point in time I saw him come out in the field. I'm like, okay, here's a reverse. And you know what they did? Fake reverse. So I mean, that's what he is. But he can catch the ball as well. But other than that, if you're going to tell me that they are going to run with Peterson and Kamara and Mark Ingram and then try to throw the ball as much as they can, I don't know if they have enough offensive firepower in the receiving corps.
Sean Payton is good at adjusting, and Sean Payton is good at utilizing wide receivers that aren't necessarily known. He made names for many, many men that weren't necessarily high-quality wide receivers. I feel like this is going to be a high-scoring game between New England Patriots and the New Orleans Saints. And it's going to be a back-and-forth battle.
I hope it's out of hand early.
Most likely, this will be like a 24-21 game where both defenses step up, because everyone right now is going to be predicting that this game is going to be a shootout.
Yeah.
So most likely it won't be that.
I hope so. I hope you're right, Tom.
Number 6 on the list, we have Derek Carr. Number 7, Jameis Winston. Number 8, Cam Newton. Number 9, Ben Roethlisberger, the takedown artist. Number 10, Philip Rivers.
I like the matchup for Carr, but I'm a little worried that this game might get out of hand early. They might be sending Jalen Richard out there, take some bunch of running plays. Same with Washington. They might get up early and put this game away early, which could hurt Derek Carr's fantasy options for the day.
Derek Carr's got a half.
Yeah.
He's got a half. We predicted in a previous show, I believe it was you, Tom, said Derek Carr is going to have 4 touchdowns in the first half. That's what I see happening. Big days for Amari. Big day for Crabtree. A big day for Jared Cook, ladies and gentlemen. Keep that name on your board if you're looking for a sleeper tight end, because whoever you have hasn't been doing what he's supposed to. Jameis is going to be able to, you know, the Bears secondary looked okay against the Atlanta Falcons, kept them in check. But Jameis is very, very good at being mobile, and the Bears tend to struggle with that type of quarterback. So I like him as well. Cam in Buffalo. I don't think he's 100% yet, and I don't like Big Ben against Minnesota. So
the real question, Tim, is another Bears defensive back going to get stiff-armed to hell by one of the tight ends for the Bucks?
Probably. Get down there!
Probably.
That's what he said.
Probably. I hope so. Listen, I'm glad that happened. It was Kitten Demps. I'm glad that happened
to
him.
That was shocking. It was Demps.
I'm glad it happened to him. You got burned because you're an idiot, and then you try to make up for it, and you're not even man enough to tackle him. You had him at like the 40. He could have tackled him down.
Well, you know what happened is he didn't get burned. What happened was Julio Jones was coming across the middle, and Demps jumped on that like an idiot, and that's where Hooper just took off down the middle. He didn't get burned by any means.
He bit.
And then you know what happened?
He
caught up to him, and then he got stiff-armed.
He bit
on
the play and ended up getting burned by a tight end because he bit. He didn't play the defense he was
like
supposed
20
to.
20 yards away
he
from
him. He didn't play the defense he was supposed to is the fact of the matter. Of course, he better catch
but
up to him.
He didn't get burned.
He better catch up to him. He caught
up to him to get stiff-armed.
Right. He deserved every part of that. I hope he's embarrassed. I hope he's ashamed. I hope his mother called him and said, you know what? Your father and I are embarrassed, sir. I hope that's what happened.
Me personally, I do not like Ben Roethlisberger this week, especially against the Vikings. We saw what they did against Drew Brees this past week in Week 1. I just think the Minnesota Vikings defense is just that tough. I don't like Roethlisberger. I would move Rivers above him. Carson Palmer being at 12, I think, is kind of a shame. I think he needs to be up higher on the list as well. The thing is, you're going now we're at past 10 on their list here. They have 11 Mariota, number 12 Palmer, 13 Kirk Cousins, 14 Matthew Stafford, one of the highest scoring quarterbacks last week, and Carson Wentz at 15. Where the hell is Jared Goff? Where's the love for Alex Smith? And where's the love for Stafford?
Well, there's no love to necessarily be had. I mean, they put out good week ones, but nothing consistent yet. I mean, you have to. This is a show me league, yes, but anyone who's going out and playing those guys right away are jumping the gun. Those are poor fantasy decisions. You know, there's a lot of. We've talked ad nauseum how the quarterback position is so incredibly close, and especially with a lot of these top guys having good matchups coming up here, it's a no-brainer. The only guys that I'd be looking to outside of the top 12 potentially bench are the Ben Roethlisbergers or Marcus Mariotas of the world. So that frees up 2 spots, but I mean, I'm okay with these rankings.
You both keep dogging my boy Big Ben. Guys, he's at home.
I heard you. I said that.
You still wouldn't start him this week?
He couldn't lock up a leg lock. That's the only thing I'm looking at.
It would be very, very hard for me to start him this week, in all honesty. With the way that I saw them, I don't care where it was played, with the way that I saw them take care of business against Drew Brees, there's a lot more weapons in Pittsburgh, but it's still Minnesota's defense is still very, very special.
For me, out of the group, that 6 to 10 group, I would start Big Ben out of any of those guys.
Hoo-wee. Even out of Derek Carr.
Yeah, I think that game's going to get out of hand. And I think the game flow is going to work completely against Carr. And I'm a big believer in Big Ben at home. I don't care what the matchup is. I would recommend starting him.
Do you know what happened the last time Jameis Winston played the Bears?
No.
He wrecked them. He absolutely wrecked them with his feet through the air. Jameis Winston is a good start this week as well. Over 20 points in standard leagues. As long as you're not in the... Actually, if you're in the 8-bit bro league, he'll probably score 165 points because that's how dumb that fucking league is.
Yeah, that is kind of...
Yeah,
those points are a little weird.
It
makes no sense.
A top 25 quarterback gets you at least 87 points, so no big deal.
If you were in a 2-quarterback league and you were kind of at the end of your rope and you had to pick between Andy Dalton and Joe Flacco.
Give me Flacco all day against the Browns? Come on, baby. No brainer.
I absolutely hate both of those guys because the way I see that Cincy-Houston game going... See it being a low-scoring game. Both teams kind of banged up a little bit. Both teams got their asses kicked week one. So I could see it a 14-13 game, somewhere along those lines. But then I see Flacco, the Ravens just beating the shit out of the Browns and them just running the football a lot.
60 times.
Yeah.
Andy Dalton's going to be lucky to be a starting quarterback in 2 years.
Wow.
That's how bad this season's going to be for him.
If you had to choose between two guys... Matthew Stafford or Carson Wentz in these two games. Stafford's playing the Giants. Wentz is playing Kansas City. It's very possible you have both these guys on your roster. If you had to choose between the two, which two?
Stafford.
Yeah, I have to go with Stafford. I don't like either of their matchups, but I have to go for Stafford. I got one for you with Josh before you continue.
Yep.
Jay Cutler or Jared Goff?
I'd go Cutler.
Against the Chargers?
Yep.
Yeah, I would go Cutler as well. I would take my chances. I think he's, I don't want to say better offensive weapons, but I would go Jay Cutler, week off. He's got another week to prepare, so that's where I'd be at with that.
I got one more. Blake Bortles against the Titans or Deshaun Watson against the Bengals?
I would probably go Deshaun Watson, as sad as that is.
But I'd start Kaiser over both of them.
I probably would too, to be honest.
That was the other guy that I was going to throw in there.
Yeah, no, I feel like that would be... That's a tough one, man, because it's two guys you're not going to start. But if it's in a 2-quarterback league, maybe, I guess. But it's just tough overall. So you're going to have one guy that the team's going to try to run the ball all day. And then you have another guy that's making his first career start as a professional. And maybe he comes out and slings the ball around. So we'll see. If I had to choose, I'd go Watson. Last one real quick. Probably two guys that might have been on waivers. Carson Palmer. And let's go with...
Carson Palmer.
Yeah, Carson Palmer or Phillip Rivers. I'll go with those two.
Go Palmer.
I'll go Palmer as well.
Palmer is my play of the week, realistically.
I'm playing Indy. Yeah. It's a no-brainer.
So, who has the best week out of these quarterbacks? Who do you guys have? You have Brady?
Brady, 108 points. In the 8-bit pro league, that's a real thing.
It's true.
That is true.
Tom?
I'm going to go Russell Wilson. He's going to have a bounce-back week.
Biggest letdown for some of these guys.
Tom Brady.
Come on.
Don't be like that, Tom.
He should be fine. I'm going to go Derek Carr. That matchup is juicy as hell.
Oh, my God.
But I could see – I brought it up earlier. I don't like the game flow of that game whatsoever. I think it could be out of control early and them just to be running the football nonstop without Marshawn Lynch doing it.
I'm going
to
say it's not as obvious one, but since he was so hot week one, people are going to want to start him in week two. Sam Bradford at Pittsburgh. That's my letdown.
That's a good pick. There are going to be those people.
I'm pretty smart, so.
There are going to be those people that do go out and do pick them up. And actually, in our league, somebody started them and scored 56 points. So.
Oh, in the 8-bit bro league?
Yeah.
Oh, shocking.
Mine would be Roethlisberger. I think he's going to still score 2 touchdowns, but I don't think he's going to have the yardage that I think he's going to have.
That's not good, Josh. It's only 74 points in the 8-bit bro league.
Let's move on to the running back position. Running back forecast for week two. And on their list here, again, PPR.
Yeah, I got you.
PPR. Number one on the list, Le'Veon Bell. Number two, Zeke Elliott. Number three, Shady McCoy. Number four, you know what's funny? All these guys have, like, nicknames. Shady, Zeke, and then we have Melvin.
Chef
Melvin. Chef Gordon Ramsay right here.
Chef Gordon Ramsay.
Number five, Freeman. So Bell faces the Vikings. Zeke plays Denver. Shady plays Carolina. Chef plays Miami. And Freeman plays the Green Bay Packers.
A little worried about Le'Veon Bell, how he looked in week one against the Browns. The Vikings are a far superior defense. They're good at stuffing the run, and they have linebackers who can cover. They can run and hit and do a good job at covering backs out of the backfield. By far, out of this group of five, though, the matchup I'm most comfortable with is Ezekiel Elliott. I'm not too worried about Denver's ability to stop the run. They did a decent job against Melvin Gordon, but this is a whole nother monster. The New York Giants were the most successful last year at shutting down Zeke, and he went right through them. He's motivated. He doesn't know how many weeks he's going to play this year. He's coming out, and he's going to drop 200 on the Broncos.
Let me ask you this. Zeke, does he play the full season?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Josh, I'm not, honestly, I'm not having any of those top five guys listed as my number one running back for the week.
Wow.
I will tell you who when you get to him, but,
Pick Tariq Cohen.
No, yeah. God, no, that's Josh. That's not me. I hate my own team. What are you talking about? But out of all of them, I'm going to go with Melvin Gordon. He looks good against that Denver defense, and I don't think Miami's going to be able to, shut him down.
Right. I'm worried about Shady. I really like that front seven
for use.
I'm just worried about the matchup.
And he's 85 years old.
He's getting older. He's on the road against Carolina. I like the Carolinas, their front seven. I like Luke Kuechly. He's going to match up with Shady. I don't think he's going to produce like he normally does out of the backfield receiving the football. He'll still probably get peppered with targets. They really don't have anyone else. But I think it's going to be a down week for Shady. I don't have him in my top five this week.
Next up, number six, Todd Gurley. Number seven, Marshawn Lynch. Number eight, Kareem Hunt. Number nine, T.Y. Montgomery. I know you guys like that. Number 10, JJ. That's a throwback to Mike.
Did you guys actually watch the Colts-Rams game?
I watched most of it.
I watched the paint dry in my living room.
I had a couple people, Todd Gurley not looking too bad today. He's looking good. I'm like, he actually looks absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
The Colts held him to under, I think it was under 2.5 yards per carry. He broke a couple long receiving yards, but it was not a good day for Todd Gurley. He got lucky. They kind of just, it was a total onslaught and found his way into the end zone. I'm still worried about Todd Gurley. You have to like that he's getting used in every facet of the game, getting the receptions, he's getting the touches, and McVay said it's going to be a Gurley-friendly offense, but I'm not convinced right now that he's a top 10 option.
I mentioned that I would have my number one outside of the top five, and it's going to be the one Todd Gurley. I agree with you. He did not look great in week one from everything that I watched of all of his pure rushing plays. He looked okay in the passing game, but this is going to be his breakout game at home against a team that he's going to have opportunity against. The Eagles were able to run decently against the Washington Redskins in week one. Todd Gurley is going to have that opportunity, and I feel like this is going to be the game that puts him back into the fantasy number one running back perspective.
I don't know. It's kind of tough for me to agree with that. I watched most of the game, probably three quarters of it, because I was flipping back and forth. But I don't see it with Todd Gurley as much as I want to, and I think Todd Gurley is a great running back. He was a great running back in college. Bounce back from that knee injury, and then now we kind of see him in this offense. There's so many offensive weapons. He should have the room to run, and he's getting stopped, and he caught the ball quite a few times in the open field and made a good couple runs, but other than that, I'm not a believer in Todd Gurley, so he would slide down for me a little bit.
My thought process here is the Rams are going to do everything in their power to keep that Washington offense off the field. That's what they need to do, and Todd Gurley is the guy to do it. It's going to be tough sledding. I wouldn't be surprised if after the first quarter or a quarter and a half in, he's only got 25 yards at 12 carries. I wouldn't be shocked by that at all. But as the game progresses, as things play out the way that I think they're going to play out, Todd Gurley's going to have around 25, 27 carries, around a buck 50.
What do you guys think about Kareem Hunt being ranked number 8 on this list? There are some experts on here that actually have him ranked as high as 4, and there's some that have him ranked as low as 41.
Some of the trades I'm hearing that people are doing for Kareem Hunt right now are absolutely insane. I think people are way too high on him. Great system. Andy Reid's completely running back friendly, but I don't think he's going to be a top 10 option this week. I think he's going to come back to earth a little bit.
I think he's going to be closer around like the number 20 running back.
Yeah.
In all honesty, I don't feel like he's going to have as much success catching the ball out of the backfield. The difference is it obviously only takes one big play, and he has that big play ability, so that obviously keeps him close to the top 10 at all times. But Philadelphia knows where they need to focus. Keep all eyes on Kareem Hunt and yeah, bless it. Why do I always do this? The wide receiver.
Hill.
Thank
Kelsey.
You. Thank you. And Kelsey as well. So we'll see what happens.
Moving on to number 11, Leonard Fournette. Number 12, DeMarco Murray. Number 13, Dalvin Cook. Number 14, Jordan Howard. And number 15, Christian McCaffrey.
I'm a little worried about Jordan Howard right now. We weren't super high on him in the pre-draft process. But right now, with Cohen getting a lot of those receptions, getting a lot of those looks, he was in the football game a lot, and this was a close game, a game where Howard should have been used more often. Howard did find the end zone, but I'm a little worried about him. I think he should be dropped down a little bit, but I'm glad he's not in the top 12 here. I think the Fournette-Murray, that 11-12, that's going to be an interesting to see who has a better game between those two.
I'm not sold on, listen, Jordan Howard is no longer the bell cow three-down running back, obviously, with the Tariq Cohen's emergence. But with that being said, when they get in the red zone, Jordan Howard's the running back when it gets close, right? He's the go-to guy. He's the only one that they have. Zach Miller is the other option right now, and I'm not sold on him. When it gets close, they're going to try to run the ball with Jordan Howard. With that being said, Christian McCaffrey is your breakout guy this week, in my opinion, against Buffalo at home. I know that people kind of got a little bit worried about him. They're saying they're going to scale him back, that you're going to still see Jonathan Stewart. You'll still see Jonathan Stewart, but they know that Christian McCaffrey is the future. I love McCaffrey. All the other matchups, Fournette's got a tough one in Tennessee after the tough one in Houston. Murray's got that tough Jacksonville defense. I see someone has him as high as number one, which I think is an absolute joke. And Dalvin Cook, I believe, is going to come down to earth against Pittsburgh.
Number 16, C.J. Anderson. Number 17, Lamar Miller. Number 18, Isaiah Crowell. Number 19, the great Terrence West. And rounding it out, number 20, Carlos Hyde.
That group just shows how weak the running back position is. I'm not a big fan of any of these guys. Well, I do like Crowell, so let me take that back. I just think it's a bad matchup against Baltimore. They look like they're one of the better run defenses in the NFL. They look like they're one of the better defenses overall. Terrence West, I think his usage will be high. I think that's how the game flow will work against Cleveland. So out of those guys, I'd probably give Terrence West. He might be the least talented out of those guys, but I think might be the better matchup.
Give me Lamar Miller this week, guys. I like Lamar Miller on Thursday. Games like this that are just dirty, rough and tumble, you look for guys like a Lamar Miller, who has been underwhelming pretty much since he's been in Houston. Look for him to get in the end zone this week and try to keep Houston in the game. Have, you know, 80 to 110 yards rushing and a little bit of play passing. And then Terrence West as well. I completely agree, Tom. He's going to get a ton of play, and hopefully Buck Allen doesn't take away too much.
All right, last couple of guys here. We have 21, Mark Ingram. 22, Mike Gillisley. Number 23, Belil Powell. Number 24, Jacquizz Rodgers. And number 25, Tariq Cohen.
All poo for the most part.
I like this group of five.
No, I like Gillisley. Ingram, I do not like against New England. Powell, I don't like against Oakland. I know you guys are much higher on Quiz than I am against Chicago, but I hate the Chicago Bears 99% of the time. I love what they're doing to stop the run, and I feel like they're going to try to contain Winston and the run game. That's going to be their main focus. They're going to say, hey, beat us deep, beat us with your wide receivers, which the Buccaneers are going to be able to do, but stick with what they're good at. Keep that front seven locked and loaded.
I like Ingram this week. He kind of showed last week that he is going to be that receiving back for him along with Kamara, which is a big plus for him. Yeah, Peyton isn't the biggest believer in him, and it's pretty much a three-headed monster there, but I think Ingram's getting more touches than AP, and that's kind of obvious right now.
This kind of reminds me of the Cincinnati Bengals backfield right now, where they're not deciding on a running back, and they have to. And I think Mark Ingram has shown that he's the guy that's the most confident in this offense. I think they're the most confident in him. And they just need to trust Mark Ingram. He was a Heisman Trophy winner for a reason. He's not the greatest running back, but he's very, very capable of running this ball for this offense.
Top 10 running back last year.
I honestly believe that the New Orleans Saints did themselves a disservice by bringing in Adrian Peterson.
They did.
You killed any confidence that Mark Ingram had. And Mark Ingram has had confidence issues since coming into the league. If you're going into this year with Ingram and Kamara, you're confident. But now you have the Ingram and AP, and AP's already fighting with the coach. It's a nightmare. I don't want to read too much into him and Peyton's little tiff, if you would, on the field, but I just don't like it. I don't know what AP gives you, in all honesty.
Actually, not much. Not 20 yards.
He did not look very good.
Yeah, and when he did run the ball, he ran like he only mattered, if that makes any sense. Like, he was running into people just to I don't want to say just to get yards, but he was just running to run. Like, other than that, there was nothing else.
And I feel like this is where the Saints tried to play into his ego by naming him the starter. Like, I got that. But if you're going to name him the starter, give him an opportunity, like a big opportunity, to put a stamp on his team. I know that the game didn't dictate that. The game didn't allow things to play out that way. But at the same point, you know what he wanted. This really was like AP's season. I mean, kind of his season-defining moment. What can he do against his former team that he gave everything for, that he put on the map, that he got to the NFC Championship game, and it just never played out. I do not think things are going to end well, and now I'm honestly real nervous about the Saints.
All right, leading up to there, we pretty much ended right there. That's running back two territory. So is there anybody outside of that top 25 that you're looking at that could have a big week that you should be considering in your top 24 theoretically?
I got one. Oh, you got one too?
I got one who I'm going to be playing a lot of daily. I don't know if I'll be starting him in normal redrafts.
Go ahead.
Chris Carson.
Josh's
boy. I could see them getting up and getting up early on the 49ers, and he was by far the best running back for the Seattle Seahawks last week. Yeah, Thomas Rawls is supposed to come back and be healthy, but Chris Carson was one of two running backs last week that had over five rushing attempts and averaged over 5 yards per carry. Him and Kareem Hunt, two rookies, but extremely impressive in my eyes.
I'm going to go with Tevin Coleman. I feel like against that Green Bay defense, obviously Green Bay looked fantastic against Seattle last week. I'm not high on Devonta Freeman this week, but Tevin Coleman catching the ball out of the backfield, they're going to have to do some things to kind of just get the ball around, to give different looks to that Green Bay defense. And Tevin Coleman's the running back who I believe that you're going to see have a breakout. He will be get a touchdown this week instead of Devonta Freeman.
All right, so who is your guys? Who's your one guy that you think that is going to have that big breakout week, and who's going to be that dud for you?
I said earlier, Todd Gurley is my guy to go out there and have the big week, and my guy to have the dud, Marshawn Lynch owners. I don't like with the matchup against the Jets the same way that Tom mentioned earlier with Derek Carr. This game's going to get out of hand early. The Raiders are going to see an opportunity to rest someone that they're watching the carries for anyway.
My breakout player this week, Ty Montgomery. I like the matchup. I think he showed last week that he's going to get 99% of the snaps as long as he's healthy. And if he can stay healthy this week, it's going to be a big day for the Green Bay Packers and him. Guy I'm staying away from, LeSean McCoy. Just not a big fan of that matchup against Carolina. I think Luke Kuechly is going to make his day really bad.
All right. Let me ask you guys a couple questions here. So if you're teetering between a couple guys, such as you have a David Johnson on your team, David Johnson goes down. You can pick up Kerwin Williams off of the waiver. So you pick up Kerwin Williams off the waiver. You have either him or you have Theo Riddick if you have to start one of them. Who are you looking at? I know it's tough, but there's some people that are in that position.
I'm benching my whole team and conceding the week.
If it's PPR, I'd go Theo. I think last week we saw the Colts' run defense. That was probably the only bright spot for their whole team. Their run defense held the Rams under 3 yards per carry, and I'd have to have faith that they could possibly do that again, and I think the Cardinals are going to be airing it out. Theo Riddick's normally good for 5 to 6 receptions.
Most times when you pick up the guy who's supposed to be the guy, he ends up not being the guy.
Yeah.
So I would take Theo as well.
You drafted high on a rookie such as Joe Mixon playing Thursday night against the Houston Texans.
Josh.
But you also have Chris Thompson on your team. Which one would Chris you rather Thompson. Start?
Probably Thompson this week.
Chris Thompson for sure. I like that matchup.
You have Amir Abdullah and you have James White. Who are you starting?
James White. This week, PPR.
Yeah.
They're playing the Saints. Yeah, I would have to go James White as well.
I'm not a huge fan of the Giants trying to run against them, and that's going to be Abdullah's main role. He might get you the 2 to 4 receptions, but that passing game is mainly going to be Theo Riddick's job.
I got one for you, Josh.
Last one.
All right.
Mark Ingram cool. or Mike Gillisley for me. You can go after.
I'm going Ingram.
I'm going Gillisley.
I would go Ingram as well.
Carlos Hyde against Seattle or Isaiah Crowell against Baltimore?
Goo.
Yep.
Give me Tariq Cohen.
I'd start Crowell over him.
I would start Cohen. I don't if I had a.
Oh yeah, I'd start probably Cohen over those two.
And Josh, actually both of you, Jordan Howard against Tampa or C.J. Anderson against Dallas?
Jordan Howard.
C.J. Anderson. For me.
Fournette against Tennessee or DeMarco Murray against Jacksonville?
DeMarco
Murray.
Tennessee's down. Going back to their bread and butter. Going to run the football a lot this week.
Let's go ahead and move on to the wide receiver forecast.
Should we do PPR or standard?
For week 2.
Oh, okay.
And I
hate him.
If I could slap you with a fish.
You're the one who keeps calling it out.
Because you our first week, you kept going to standard over and over again like a big old dum-dum.
That was 2 weeks ago.
Number 1 on the board, Antonio Brown against the Vikings. Number 2 in the rankings, Julio Jones. Number 3, Jordy Nelson. Number 4, Mike Evans. Number 5, Brandon Cooks.
These guys all have good matchups. You could say that Antonio Brown versus Minnesota is not the greatest matchup, but Antonio Brown never has a bad matchup, let's be honest. But the one that's really sticking out to me is Brandon Cooks going back to the turf, going back to New Orleans, the place where he became a star in this league. We saw last week the only way the Chiefs were able to stop him is when they tackled him mid-route, and he had like 4 or 5 freaking pass interference calls. Brandon Cooks is going to eat alive the Saints, and he'll probably be a guy I spend a lot of money on in daily. I think he's going to blow up this week.
I like that pick, but I'm not going to agree with you. I'm going to go with Mike Evans against that Chicago Bears secondary. I know they were able to keep Julio Jones in check last week, but I feel like that was more a negative on the Atlanta Falcons game plan and not a positive to the Chicago Bears secondary. It's a bad secondary, guys. Trust me. I want them to be good, but they're not. They're bad. Mike Evans is going to be able to do what I don't want him to do, and that's absolutely torch the Chicago Bears.
Next up, number 6, A.J. Green. Number 7, Michael Thomas. Number 8, OBJ, who will not be playing. Number 9, Amari Cooper. And number 10, Doug Baldwin.
A little worried about A.J. Green. A little worried about that whole Cincinnati Bengals offense with that absolutely horrendous offensive line. I'm not sure. It's kind of hard to say to bench him. You have to play him. Most likely you drafted him in the late first, early second in your draft, so you have to start him. I just wouldn't be expecting those elite wide receiver 1 numbers right now. I like Michael Thomas this week. Think that's going to be a shootout with New England. And Cooper, he needs to step it up. He a lot of targets, led the NFL in targets last week. Didn't have the biggest game, did have a touchdown, did get a lot of red zone targets. But if he's elite, he needs to start stepping up and putting up those 100-plus yard performances, 1 to 2 touchdowns, when he has far superior talent than his competition.
A.J. Green is going to have the type of season that DeAndre Hopkins had last year. That's where I think A.J. Green is going to fall, because of how bad I truly believe the Cincinnati Bengals are. Yeah, Michael Thomas, I agree, is going to be a big game for him. I want to pick Amari Cooper, but I'm going to go outside of my comfort zone here a little bit. I'm going to go Doug Baldwin. Seattle is going to have to prove themselves a little bit here. Facing San Francisco, it's a division game. They need to go out after the week one loss and get a big win at home against an inferior team. So give me Doug Baldwin.
Next up, number 11, Larry Fitzgerald. Number 12, Demaryius Thomas. Number 13, Keenan Allen. 14, Tyreek Hill. 15, Michael Crabtree. Let me tell you guys this. I am loving these rankings for this week wide receiver-wise, because I, one, have Mike Evans. Two, have Michael Thomas, Larry Fitzgerald, and Keenan Allen. That's four guys in the top 15. I'm liking top this 13. List. Or yeah, top 13. I'm liking this read, list right idiot. Now. Well, yeah. I just counted out to 15.
It's a pretty stacked wide receiver group you have, Josh. But you had to like Larry Fitzgerald this week. Last week we saw Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, Sammy Watkins all torch the secondary for the Indianapolis Colts. Larry Fitzgerald, you would think that does the same thing. Probably might have one of those Larry Fitzgerald games. 10 receptions, 90 yards, 2 tutties, somewhere along those lines. Also like Keenan Allen. Looked good. He looked very good Monday night against the tough Denver Broncos secondary. I like what Keenan Allen's bringing to the table. He is that trustworthy guy. And when Phillip Rivers has a big game, that means Keenan Allen's going to have a big game, and I could see that this week.
You know, Josh, you bring it up all how great your team is because you're facing me this week, and that's fine. You scored roughly 36 points last week. No big deal. I don't like Tyreek Hill against Philadelphia. Keenan Allen did look good. I'm interested to see what he does against Miami. I'm going to have to go with Larry Fitz to blow up the most out of this. I'm interested to see if you start him, in all honesty, Josh. I feel like it would be a ballsy move for you to do so. Don't know if you got the spine in you to do it. Hope you do. But he's gonna blow up. Indy's secondary is not very good. I don't know. That's all I got.
Larry Fitz will be in my starting lineup.
Name
Keenan Allen will be on my bench. As much as I love Keenan Allen, have to go with Evans. I have to go with Michael Thomas. I thought about sitting Thomas, but I think I have to go with Thomas, Evans, and Fitz.
I hope that he gets 5 touchdowns and the rest of your team gets 0.
Well, that wouldn't be good. Next up, number 16, Stephon Diggs. DeAndre Hopkins at 17. Number 18, Golden Tate. Number 19, Terrell Pryor. And number 20, Alshon Jeffrey.
I got a tough decision to make, actually, in one of my other leagues. I have Stephon Diggs and Larry Fitz for who should be my flex. I think it's going to be something I'm going to bounce back and forth on. I just showed Tom, actually, Pryor. It's brutal. My starting wide receivers are very, very, very good. So I don't know what's going to happen there.
6-person league.
No, actually 12. Believe it or not. DeAndre Hopkins I don't like, because who knows what Deshaun Watson's going to do, but you never know, because he went to him there. I'm going to go with, what number did you go up to there, 20?
Yes, I go by 5.
Okay, well, perfect. I didn't know that. I don't do math very well. I'm going to go with, I'll go with Michael Crabtree. I like Michael Crabtree.
He was not in our group of 5, Tim.
Oh, you started at 16? All right, I'll go with Stephon Diggs.
Sorry, guys, Tim is not good at math. My guy I'm going with out of this group of 5, number 19, Mr. Terrell Pryor. Last week, 11 targets, some of the highest number of targets in the league last week. Should have had a monster week, dropped a long touchdown. Should have. It's frustrating as a guy who owns Terrell Pryor, a guy who is a big-time believer in him. But he's gonna come back and show that he's that dominant number one wide receiver for the Redskins, and eventually get paid.
Not more targets than one Tariq Cohen, though. Next up, we have number 21, Davante Adams. Number 22, Dez Bryant. Crazy to think Dez Bryant all the way down here to 22.
He should be there.
I know. We'll get to that in just a second. Number 23, Emmanuel Sanders. Number 24, Kelvin Benjamin. Number 25, yes, this is the 5th guy out of the group, Sammy Watkins. Tim?
We go in groups of five here on Pony Keg Sports. I'm going to go with Kelvin. I like to eat Big Macs, Benjamin. Buffalo is going to have some opportunity there. It's the game might get out of hand, but early, I like him to finally come out. Have that big Kelvin Benjamin game fantasy owners have been waiting for quite a while. So give me Kelvin Benjamin.
I'm looking at this list here, and we were talking about Dez Bryant. And if you guys have been listening, which you guys should have been, we have said over and over again, or at least Tom has, Dez Bryant and his matchups are very, very poor matchups throughout the season. He is facing solid, solid number one corners all throughout the year. So Dez Bryant is a big name. Most likely you were drafting him at the beginning slash end of round number two. Round number three, I guess, if you were lucky. But we were saying from the get-go, stay away from Dez Bryant, at least for the first half of the season. His matchups are very, very tough. And especially now that Zeke is playing the full year, or most likely to play the full year, it's not looking very bright for Dez. He's still a great wide receiver, so he's still going to get his looks. He's still going to get his catches, but not as high on him this year as previous.
Josh, do we see an OBJ-esque blow up from Dez, or is he past that now in his maturity level? Is he finally calmed down enough, realizes his place, and even though he's healthy, he's 100%, wants Dak to feed him the ball, he's going to be okay with knowing he's on the very best DB on the team and letting the team play out the way it's supposed to be?
Before I answer that, how many more years does he have? Is this his last year on his contract?
I'll look it up as
you guys speak. Or has he got one more?
I'm not sure.
I'll look it up.
So my biggest thing with him is maybe we do see a big blow up because they want to hand the ball off to Zeke. But now you're looking at Dak Prescott, and Dak Prescott is spreading the ball around to a lot of people. Cole Beasley, Jason Witten, Terrence Williams, and now
Bryce Butler.
So he is spreading the ball out more and more.
So they have him signed through the 2019 season.
Okay.
They have a potential out before the 2019 season, I believe. His dead cap is it's $4 million going into the 2019 season. So $12.5 million, 13 this year, 12.5 next year, 12.5 in 2019. So especially with him being a true number one, listen, the value of a Cole Beasley, of a Terrence Williams, of everyone goes significantly down if Dez is not there.
Yeah.
Adds a huge wrinkle into any defense's game plan with Dez just being on the field. So I don't know. I'm hoping, listen, if he's mature enough, the Dallas Cowboys are Super Bowl contenders through his contract, through the rest of his contract. With that offensive line, with that running game, with a young quarterback, with the way they're building that defense, are Super Bowl contenders every single year, barring injury, if Dez can keep his head on his shoulders and realize his place. I just don't know if he can. It's the wide receiver mentality. They're all bipolar. Sorry, Brandon Marshall. They're all bipolar. They're all nuts. It's me. He's owed a bunch of money over the next, is that 25 and a half, so 26, so that's $38 million over the next 3 years. It's a lot of friggin' money, so they're going to have to figure it out.
As long as they're winning, I don't think you got to be worried about it. I think he's a team player. You could see a lot of his breakdowns have happened when they're losing or when something really bad happens. He had that breakdown with that catch against Green Bay that they didn't count. That should have been a catch. He's a team player, and I think he cares about winning at this stage of his career.
That's why I said, is he mature enough? Because he's 28. He's getting into the actual mature year. It's when you saw he wasn't really mature, but T.O. slowly starts to mature, this quote-unquote mature, right? They want to win championships now. They want to secure their legacy. I hope he does. I hope he's able to realize where he is.
Starting to get into some good wide receivers here later on in the rankings. Number 26, Jeremy Maclin. 27, Martavis Bryant could be a sneaky play. 28, Jarvis Landry, a guy that had a week one bye. 29, Randy Cobb. Number 30, T.Y. Hilton.
Crazy.
And I'm going to just name off a couple more here. Number 31, Adam Thielen. Number 32, Devonta Parker. And number 33, Jamison Crowder. Number 34, Pierre Garçon.
Wide receivers deep right now. Out of that group, though, I really like Martavis this week. He's going to blow up one of these weeks. He has to. He's a complete physical freak, and throughout his career, he's been a wide receiver, too. I think he's going to put up big numbers this week.
I think Jacoby Brissett gets the start, and T.Y. Hilton surprises people. I still have Arizona winning. I feel like they're going to win in the shootout. But Jacoby Brissett is a pleasant surprise, and T.Y. Hilton gets back involved, has over 100 yards.
Wasn't Jacoby the quarterback when they played the Cardinals on the Patriots when Tom Brady was suspended, and we did not think that they would win that game?
I believe so.
Key, you guys talk, I'll figure that out.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was, but
Jacoby was 1-1. And he played 2 games.
Okay, yeah, I thought the one game he played was against the Cardinals, and they won that game.
No, I think that was the Texans.
Was it the Texans? He beat the Texans. Okay, yeah, regardless, Jacoby, it's very interesting with him. But the thing is, he's going to have, a week and a half under his belt with this team. But who knows, if he's out there and, you know, T.Y. Hilton's the guy, We've seen Jacoby throw the ball around when he was on the Patriots.
No, the Patriots last year played the Arizona Cardinals week one, and Jimmy Garoppolo was the quarterback.
Gotcha. But yeah, out of that group, I still like Adam Thielen, even if they're playing Pittsburgh. I really think that Sam Bradford is comfortable with Thielen, and he's going to target him often. So,
poo.
I'm just saying.
Straight poo.
All right, so let's talk about this real quick, guys. Who pretty much outside of that list, which is outside of 34, not out of 5.
It's not increments of 5?
No.
All
right. Out of 34, would you consider putting in that group?
Number 37, John Brown, facing the Indianapolis Colts. He's got that big playability. He may have sickle cell anemia, but I like him this week. I like the fact that I like him. Actually, I like the guy right before him, too, Chris Hogan against New Orleans. I like both those guys this week.
Man, that's tough. Wide receiver goes pretty deep. I'd have to go with Mr. Corey Coleman, though. He's 38 on their rankings. Yeah, this game might not be pretty against Baltimore. It's going to be tough to move the ball against them, but I think Corey Coleman is the guy for Cleveland. We saw Kenny Britt have a terrible drop last week. He's already in the doghouse of the coach, and Coleman's he'll get majority of the targets this week, and he's an explosive athlete, so I like seeing the football in his hands.
Danny Amendola, who's listed at number 52, I would like to see higher on this list, and number 62, Jermaine Kearse. I've talked about it over and over again. I don't think he should be as low as 62, especially PPR. They're going to target him and target him often. Same thing as I said for last week.
I wonder if Amendola is that low just due to his injury. It has to be, right?
It's possible.
Yeah. It has to be.
So pretty much let's talk about some of the guys that you guys... Well, actually, normally we would talk about who we would pick over who, but we're running low on time, and I kind of want to get to the tight ends because we didn't get to talk about tight ends last week. And I think some of the tight ends are pretty interesting. We saw Travis Kelce not have a big week. We saw Rob Gronkowski not have a big week. But on this list, they're ranked number 1 and number 2. Gronk 1, Travis Kelce 2, Greg Olsen 3, my boy Zach Ertz number 4, and Jimmy Graham, the drop king, number 5.
You have to love Zach Ertz this week. Look, what is the person for Kansas City who normally would cover tight ends, Eric Berry. He's out for the year, and that's who normally would cover Zach Ertz. There's going to be a backup covering Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz is going to have a big game, continue with that momentum from week one, and puts up number one tight end numbers this week.
Yeah, I agree with you, Tom. I'm sure they were looking. They're like, man, Gronk got shut down last week. What happened? Oh, that was Eric Berry, and he's no longer here. So Zach Ertz, I agree completely, going to be dominant. Hey, I love Greg Olsen this week as well at Buffalo. If Carolina can get things going, one of their main weapons in the red zone, Greg Olsen.
Travis Kelce has to have a big bounce back week.
I don't think
this
he will.
Week. And I think the only reason why he will is that this ground game is going to stall this week. And I think Travis Kelce is going to have to be a big factor in the passing game.
I hope so.
I hope Jimmy Graham can catch football this week.
Next up, number 6, Jordan Reed. Number 7, Kyle Rudolph. Number 8, Delanie Walker. Number 9, Martellus Bennett. And number 10, Tyler Eifert.
A rough go for all these guys, in my opinion. But I believe the one to look to is old man Delanie Walker. At Jacksonville, when you know if they get downfield, they're going to have to find their checkdowns. They're going to have to find a way to get into the end zone. Jacksonville is going to dominate the run game. They're going to make sure to shut out guys like Corey Davis, like Rashard Matthews. And Delanie Walker could be a guy who could break free and get some scores for him.
As steady as and as consistent as I thought those guys right there would be preseason, those 6 through 10 guys, I'm nervous about each and every one of them.
Absolutely.
The tight end positions, it's pretty ugly right now. We saw tight ends last year. I know in Standard League, I think Evan Engram had 4.4 points and was a top 10 tight end last week.
Yep.
Absolutely disgusting. Jordan Reed, I don't know if you could feel comfortable starting him. I think out of that group we just listed, though, Rudolph might be the most consistent and safest play.
I agree. Interested to see Tyler Eifert. How many looks does he get in week 2, especially on a Thursday?
Yeah, if I had one of those 5 guys there, I'd probably be looking at like a Cameron Brate or a Kobe Fleener or even a Jason Witten if they're available. Some of the other guys after that, like I said, Charles Clay, Jason Witten, Kobe Fleener, Hunter Henry, Austin Hooper.
Yeah. I'm shocked Hooper's not higher on the list after the stiff arm of doom last week. Hunter Henry.
Is that what we're going to call it?
The stiff arm of doom? I don't know. That's what I'm calling it. Hunter Henry didn't do crap last week. A lot of people were expecting a big breakout for him. That group, I probably like Fleener. Just with Snead being out, we saw Fleener look like that tight end that they thought they were getting last year, and he looked good against Minnesota.
Maybe that's what that New Orleans offense is missing. They're missing Snead in that passing game, so maybe that is a bigger factor than a lot of people thought.
Could be.
A guy to move the chains, just like that the Patriots are losing with Edelman right now.
Yeah, you remember, I don't think the Austin Hooper being there is too much of a shocker. Like, he had the one big play.
Yep.
That was it. So I don't mind him there at all. I love the even Charles Clay or Colby Fleener.
Next up, we got Eric Ebron, Jared Cook, Cameron Brate, Antonio Gates, and Zach Miller.
Give me Jared Cook, baby, all day.
Give me Evan Engram over all those guys.
So outside of the top 12, is there anybody that you would move into your top 12? Like I said, Fleener, Hunter Henry, Hooper, Ebron, Cook, Brate, Gates, Miller, someone I did not talk about.
I would move Fleener. That game, it should be a shootout. I'm sure it'll be that projected highest point scored via Vegas, and they're normally pretty accurate with that stuff, and you just got to pray that he gets a touchdown. That's what it's going to take for tight ends to be in the top 10 this year.
If you are looking for a team to show someone, hey, can we have a breakout guy? Can we have a I'm here moment? O.J. Howard is going to announce his presence to the NFL by scoring a touchdown against the Chicago Bears this week.
What about one George Kittle for the San Francisco 49ers? He did catch quite a few balls last week, I believe for 27 yards, and kind of the safety blanket for one Brian Hoyer. What are you guys' thoughts on him?
You have to like that he was targeted 6 times. He caught 5 of them, showing that he's reliable. And just like you said, he's that safety blanket. And so I don't know if – I couldn't feel comfortable starting him. He might be worth a shot in daily because his ownership will probably be under 1%. But his value is if he scores a touchdown that week. That's what it's going to become. I don't think he's going to be a guy that's going to be drafted or who's going to be rostered in most leagues.
What if you have Tyler Eifert as your starter, right? He was only targeted 1 time last week, and the Eric Ebron, Austin Hooper, Hunter Henry, Kobe Fleener, and Jason Wittens are all on rosters. Would you feel comfortable with a Jack Doyle, a Jesse James, or one of the other guys?
Right now, no. I'd rather start Eifert over all those guys. Just his potential for upside. Tight end's going to be an ugly position unless you have that Gronk, that Kelsey. But even last week, it was ugly with those guys.
What I hope we got across here is, through this whole show, it was week 1. It was a crazy week 1. It was weird. There were a lot of different things at play.
Don't overreact.
Don't panic. Now is not the time to panic. If you lost big, if you lost a close matchup, it doesn't matter. There were a lot of stars out there. The Russell Wilsons, the Drew Breeses, the established running backs of the world. There were a lot of just weird things that happened. take week two with the same mindset that you took week one. And if it doesn't play out and you're 0-2, well, then maybe it's time to reassess. But take a deep breath. It's okay. It's a long season. Most leagues is a 13-game season. Relax. Calm down.
If you have like a Terrell Pryor, you know, don't go out trading him for a Kenny Galladay and for like two second-round picks. It just doesn't make any sense.
With a bye week, week one, with all the different things that happened.
Crazy weeks. It threw my game plan all off.
Absolutely. Like, I own Tyler Eifert in multiple leagues. I was extremely disappointed, and I hate Cincinnati's offense. But he only had one target. It does not mean that I'm going to go out and start an Evan Ingram in front of him. It wouldn't make sense. Potentially, you know what? Evan Ingram, hell. George Kittle at 27 versus Tyler Eifert at 10. George Kittle could score more points. But right now, the highest ceiling by far is Tyler Eifert. Make sure you are setting your team up to score the most amount of points leading into a week. That's what you need to be doing.
All right. Yeah, I totally agree with you, Tim. All right, anything else, guys?
That's all I got.
All right, well, that's all we got for you guys. Hope you guys enjoyed this. Yes.
I want to make sure that everyone is going out and going to www.cleatgeeks.com. They keep all of the best information that you want on any sport. They go from MMA, they go to baseball, they go football, basketball, whatever you want. CleatGeeks.com. They had the Checkers Championships last week. It's fantastic. Check them out.
All right. That's all we got for you guys. Hit us up on Twitter at PonyKickSports, at PonyKickTom, at PonyKickTim. Again, we have that Le'Veon Bell signed jersey giveaway. Do yourselves a favor. Send us your fantasy questions on one of those three, either Facebook, Twitter, or what's the other one? Our website.
Facebook.
And I said Facebook, idiot. Right. So send us to it on one of those three and get entered in for the raffle.
And let us know who you want the second signed jersey to be, because we were going to do David Johnson. He's hurt now, so I don't feel like that's appropriate. So if you have an idea for who we should do for the second jersey that'll be raffled off at week 17, let us know. The Le'Veon Bell jersey is going to be week 8. So
Jesse James.
No, it's not going to be Jesse.
He's the number 2 tight end right now.
I once watched a movie with a Jesse James. He was a dirty girl, that one.
Wow.
No?
Until next time.
Peace. Suck it.